Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name's Dan.
Today, we are back from a short hiatus.
We're back.
And are now three quarters of the way through Wise Man's Fear.
That's right. So we've been in the Fey realm for a little while.
That's right. Finally, we made it to the Fey realm.
Or actually, maybe y'all are in the Fey realm, and we left for a little bit. Time is weird. We'll get to it later,
though. So we stopped for this section at chapter 113.
Yep.
I am going to get us warmed up a little bit. This might be a quick one.
Okay.
And I feel like we've talked about tipping before.
We have.
But I do want to come back to it. Uh-huh. For a specific thing. Not going to just say the tipping's out of control, okay? I'm not just going to say that.
I will say I think it is, but...
It is, yes, I agree, but that's not... I'm trying to bring something new to the table. And I'm going to complain about a specific scenario.
Ooh, okay. Yep.
Which is when you are doing... When you are, like, paying for a service that you've not really done before.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, do I... tip for this? How much do I tip for this? Right?
Yeah.
Have you been in this experience? I'm assuming.
Yes, I have. Do you have a specific example?
This is
you're
things
thinking
like
of?
The most recent one is like I'm tipping. I had to like figure out how much to tip like a dog sitter, right?
Ooh.
But other examples are I don't know, like valet or something or. Like things that you don't do that often that you're like, I don't know how much to tip for this. So you Google, how much do I tip for this? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's what happens a lot of the time.
Yeah.
People will say online, they'll be like, tips are never expected.
Well,
but if you do tip.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And then they'll say a number that's like 20%. Okay. And it's like, though you can't do those two sentence statements together because you can't say zero is acceptable. And if you don't tip zero, you have to tip 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
if there's a standard that is above zero, that's the amount, right?
Well, wait, say that again.
If there's a standard that's above zero. If there's a number that they're like, if you want to tip any, tip 20%.
Yeah.
That's the number.
Well, no, what I'm saying is like, I don't see, like, I'm always worried about like being rude and not like if I don't tip or if I tip the incorrect amount, right? And so like, I can't see how zero is not rude because it's not expected. And then 20% is not rude, but then 10% is rude.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, this is tough because I wonder if the like tips are never expected thing is not real. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think that's the case.
Like tips are expected actually. And this might be a very Dan thing of me to do, but if I don't think that tips make sense at a place, I will choose a custom value and put zero. And mostly because I'm just annoyed by how everybody's asking for a tip. And like, if no one is bringing my food to me or cleaning, like if I am getting my own food and bussing my own table, if I'm going up to the counter to get it, there's no tip involved. Who is it going to? Who is this money for that I'm paying?
Right.
Like I'm paying somebody to make it by the price of the thing. Anyway, so now hold on, Luke. Was this the AI overview or was this a real person?
No, this was like a real person, like several real people. Cause I'm like trying to get different sources. This is also the case. Like, well, we're in danger of getting too into tipping stuff because I want to stick on this one thing, but like, I hate it so much.
Is it just that tipping is like if you're going to tip 20% is the standard? Can we just have a known accepted standard amount? Do you know what
for
I mean?
For like everything, you mean?
For everything. Like if you're going to tip it all for this thing, just do 20% and then you're good. The problem here though is that like, fuck, 20% is kind of a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's kind of a lot, and I think that obviously it's out of control.
Well, it's like for like, the example that I'm thinking of the like dog sitting thing, but this is also true of like haircuts, let's
say. Yes, exactly.
Where it's like, I am, the thing I am paying for is the service.
Yeah.
So like typically tipping is like you're tipping at a restaurant, right? Like you're paying for the food and then you tip for like how good the service was.
Yeah.
Right?
At least that's how I conceptualize it. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to like pay for the service and then tip for the service too. Because it's like, that should just be the price.
See, you're right. But I don't know what it is about getting a haircut that you tip, but like we're dangerously close to be just like talking about tipping everywhere being a problem.
Yeah, Luke. I know.
So I think we need to rein it in here because you can listen to a million other podcasts about how tipping is out of control. We agree. It's out of control. Do we have any solutions, Luke? How are we getting around this problem?
I think back to my own thing. I want to say that if someone says tips are never expected,
you take them at their word.
I'm just gonna take them at their word, but I just know that I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm mentally weak.
I think sometimes the way that I do it, like when I have one of my friends watch my dog who also does it as like a business, right? So like I'm paying their normal rate. Usually I'll kind of round to tip them. So if it's like, if it was like $140 for like 2 weeks or something, I don't know what the timing was, but anyway, if it was like a certain amount and it was close to a bigger number, I'm like, yeah. Here's a little like, especially if it's around the holidays, you know, I'm like, you know, Merry Christmas or like Happy New Year, like for the tip, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think of it more as like a bonus than like a tip. Sure. And so in that case, I just kind of go with, I kind of round to give them a tip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in that case, it ends up being less than 20%, but it still feels like right to me. You know what I mean? Like I've already paid what they've asked and then I've given them more in a way that's like, I don't know. So that's how I've been like kind of doing it with some stuff like that.
Okay. That works. But okay, let's wrap it there because I don't want to do too much tip stuff.
We can't. Yeah.
Let's talk book. So we're up to chapter 113.
Yeah.
We moved through a lot. Well, not a lot necessarily, but like different. We finally leave the university.
Yeah.
Actually, wait, we've been gone from...
We've been gone from... Luke's been gone from our realm for a little while. So let's just catch Luke back up with where we're at. So
yes, please.
We have gotten in the good graces of the mayor, and then the mayor has sent us on a quest to go stop some bandits. And so Quoth took his little crew. They went bandit hunting. They found some bandits... Quoth also went to the Fey realm
we're gonna talk about that
for a bit, which we were definitely gonna talk about, and then came back from the Fey realm and then went to another place, went to Yoga City. And we'll talk about that, but those feel like the three main things that happened.
For sure. Before we actually get to those three, can we get our Dina convo out of the way
at
the beginning?
Oh my god. Where he's so rude.
So I have a couple things to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, obligatory Dina section at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah.
I just want to say, following and eavesdropping on Dina and this girl, don't do it.
Yeah, not good.
Bad buddy. Luck. At one point, he does it, and he's like, well, she's going into some sketchy areas, and I don't want her to, like, be alone.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're the sketchy guy.
This is
you're
a rationalization, buddy.
In the scenario. Like, yeah. you're the unsafe man that's following her in seedy areas right now.
No, dude, he's one of the good ones.
So that's bad.
Yeah.
But we get it. I'm not going to talk about it. We get a little bit of insight onto Dennis' character that I think we kind of already. But let's get to when he's an asshole.
Yeah.
She plays him the song that she's been working on.
Mm-hmm.
She's very excited about it.
Yeah.
And it's the song, or it's the story of Lanray. Lanray, yeah. How are we saying this name?
Sounds good to me.
That is like the big one that he's been focused on. That is like he heard a couple times, or his like dad was doing.
Yeah,
and he heard the more detailed story when he was like in his homeless phase.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was a very easy way for him to be like, the song's really good. I've like heard a different version of this story. So like, I'm curious how you like where you landed on this series of facts.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Instead, he's like, you have to completely redo this song because you're wrong about the story.
You're not one of the Adamaru, and so I get it. Like, it's hard for you folk to figure this stuff out.
I just, like, it seems so easy to approach this correctly.
Okay, I agree with you, especially because of how careful he's been in literally every other interaction with her. And this feels like something that's so easy to be positive about, especially because you like the song. Like, you have so many good things to say about it. This is somebody right. that you want to like, that is your friend. Not hard to do for us, I guess. Now, I was confused by this section, actually. Because I could not tell if Quoth was trying to discourage her from working on this song because he was worried it would call the Seven to Denna and put her in danger.
Right.
Because he has this moment later where he's like racked with guilt and he's like trying to figure out if he can just tell her this secret that he's had. That is like part of the reason why he had that outburst. But he seems to be like, he seems to be going also in the direction of being like affronted by the very concept of the song and thinking that it, I don't know if he's just being really convincing or if he like has two motivations when he's doing this. Do you know what I mean?
I was wondering if, like, I was thinking of this, her, like, physical safety.
Yeah.
Also, when this was going on. But I kind of read it as Quoth is more concerned about her getting the story wrong than, like, the fact that she's telling it.
Right. This is also why it felt weird to me. Because, like, Quoth makes up stories all the time.
Right.
About himself, even.
Yeah.
What? So it feels weird that for this particular case, he's going to, like, die on the sword. He's going to completely blow up his whole spot with Denna. Like, this is destroying what he's spent like years building with Denna.
Right. Well, the other thing I want to say is that like Denna has apparently spent a long time researching this story.
Yes.
And like, I know Quoth has tried to learn more about the Chandrian or the Seven.
Yeah.
But it sounds like he hasn't learned that much.
Right.
But he like hasn't really been focusing on doing research on this part of the story.
Right.
I don't think. Like, he's just relying on like the song that he heard when he was well, for one thing, like his dad's research and the song that he heard when he was in that one city. I forget what it's called. And like, if that happened to me, where someone I knew had done a lot of research and had a different understanding of the story, I'd be like, oh, like, I wouldn't be 100% sure that mine is correct.
Right, but Quoth is keeper of the song.
Right.
Quoth is just so, I mean, all evidence in his life thus far has pointed to him being the most special boy, right?
Yeah.
So he has no reason to doubt himself.
Right.
He's coming off wooing a lady for like a 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
He's riding high right now. And it feels really confusing, I guess. For the reason that it's unclear why he's suddenly doing this. Like, it seems very confusing why he's chosen this hill to die on.
But either way, he does a bad job. And then we can leave Dina behind.
Yeah. There is one last thing I have to say, though, and that is, he knows Dina pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
She seems kind of stubborn to me.
Yeah.
If he wanted her to drop the research, like stop researching the story, you don't tell her it's bad. You tell her it's perfect. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you don't say, oh, actually, you have to rework the whole song because you fucked it up really bad. You tell her, like, this is the best song I've ever heard, like a little bit of polish, and it's done.
Right. Well, that one's tough because, like, if you're getting into the motivation of, like stopping her from being in danger.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the research of the song. It's, like, the singing of it, right?
I don't know, because he's heard other songs about this guy before.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like there are no songs about this person. And he mentions in the real, like, in the present day, that this song makes it out and is popular.
Right. Okay.
So I feel like it had to do with the research side of things. At least that was my interpretation, is that if you dig too deeply into this story, you learn something dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But anyway, he fucks up with Dina and then gets sent on a bandit quest.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, it feels like we're too high level for a bandit quest at this point.
I mean, he, like it's weird that the mayor sends him on this quest, you mean?
Yeah, the Quoth single-handedly stopped the mayor from being poisoned by his closest advisor, set up his whole marriage, and then mayor's like, oh, I've got some bandits I need you to deal with. Can you go, please, and do that?
Right.
What?
I mean, he does kind of explain this as like a
strategic
move by the mayor to like put Quoth in a weird position, right?
Sure, I guess, but like, Quoth doesn't have any political power in this place.
Right.
I just... And
it's also like...
Quoth has been wrong about a lot of stuff. I feel like he's not... He doesn't question his own sort of conclusions enough. Considering that he, like, really messed up his relationship with Devi about jumping to conclusions about why people are doing things that they're doing.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. I also will say, like, the mayor, like, he did very good things for the mayor.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so, I mean, one interpretation could be like, oh, he has too much favor, and so the mayor doesn't want to, like, provide him with stuff that he has earned. But more likely, I would say, is the mayor would be like, this kid's great.
Right.
I want him to be helping me with stuff.
Right. Exactly. Because he seems very helpful, and, like, he has no ulterior motive.
Right.
It, like, nothing about Quoth is screaming like he's trying to usurp you or anything like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Which honestly is a little weird.
But he gets put in charge of this group.
Yep.
As a 16-year-old boy with no leadership or fighting experience.
Mm-hmm.
Odd, I'll say that.
Yep. Yep, a little weird. But he does pretty good.
Yes. I mean, well, where do you want to talk about on this thing? Because I actually, like, don't really have notes until the very, very end.
Yeah. Quest. Yeah, I think the main one that I want to talk about before we get to the, like, where it all goes down is I don't know why Quoth, I think they're all justified in being skeptical of Quoth, because Quoth has no experience doing any of these things, and I will not accept that he is an actor so he can do anything as his excuse here, because there is no way anything you did on the stage prepared you for tactical combat and, like, tracking people.
Right.
So the fact that these experts, the tracking expert, mercenaries, are like, yeah, you don't seem like you have expertise on this, so you should be listening to us. If I'm Quoth, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, actually. What do you guys think we should do? I get that you have to be, like, kind of tight with the money, because they are going to try and take it from you if they can, or, like, get more from you if they can. But aside from that, if you're like, all right, what's the best way to approach this combat situation? Like, that, you have no training for that at all. You've never been in a big battle like that before.
Right. Quoth's role as the leader of this expedition is, like, more of a people management thing.
Right.
Because, like, yeah. I mean, he does listen to I forget his name, the, like, ranger.
Martin.
Kind of guy. Martin.
Yep.
And then the other two were just kind of there and being really annoying.
They're there to be annoying.
Or the Hespi and I forget the,
like,
other guy.
Devin or something.
Yeah. They're not necessarily contributing that much other than just bodies if there's a fight.
Right.
And
I think part of it too, like, he comes up with this, like, grid method for searching for this camp.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like a waste of time to me, because the camp is going to be near a water source, right?
Mm-hmm.
The relatively. Track. Yeah. So, like, all you got to do is find the, like, streams and stuff in the area and, like, follow them a certain distance from the, like, it feels like his lack of expertise makes them hang out so much longer in this zone. It's nice that he's able to hold the group together as well as he is, but I don't believe that he is, like, the one coming up with the battle plan.
Yeah. He definitely shouldn't be.
No. No.
Because, as you said, he has no experience in this. And we get it, like, at the end.
Yep.
When they find the camp.
Yeah.
His idea that kind of backfires is for Martin to go ahead of them, and then him and Tempe. Forgetting names right now.
Him and Tempe
follow 5 minutes behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two follow like another 5 minutes or another 10 minutes behind.
Yeah.
And because of that, they like forget to warn the other two behind them, and so they like take a wrong turn and end up stumbling on the camp.
Yeah.
And like, I don't get why this was the strategy.
Yeah. I mean, in the moment, it's explained as like, if we run into trouble, you will be coming up behind us to like help us out. Like, you'll be able to sort of ambush the ambushers, I think is the idea.
Yeah, that's dumb.
It is dumb. It's also dumb because the whole time I'm sitting there while they're like talking and he's like, oh yeah, the trails get really confusing, so I waited for you to catch up. And they go on ahead. I'm like, you guys, there's two, you know, there's people behind you, right? This is the time to,
right.
This is the time to all get together and go as a group now.
Right.
But then it didn't give Quoth the opportunity to call down lightning. So
yeah. Okay. So this is my next note.
Yeah.
What happens here?
Yeah. Great question, Luke. Seems like it's kind of actually not that hard to call lightning. Because
so
what
like,
he, yeah, go ahead.
There is like a storm, basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of doing this fighting at the beginning of a storm.
Yeah.
And he shoots an arrow into a tree near him, I think.
I thought it was to the big tree in the middle.
Well, he did like a sympathy thing and like connected that tree to the other tree.
Okay, yes, this is right. This is what he did. Yep, yep.
And then because he did that, that was like a great, like, what's the word?
Like a conductor?
For? Yeah, for lightning.
Yeah.
And so like so much lightning hits that tree, like a huge, the biggest lightning
yeah.
you've ever seen
yeah.
hits that tree.
Uh-huh.
And I don't quite follow that.
Luke, well, lightning is energy, and he is just he's using energy, magic.
Here's what I say: I don't know a lot about lightning, if I'm being honest.
I do think, though, the way that he does it, and granted, he does explain later it was kind of lucky that it worked, but I don't understand what he was even trying to do to make the lightning work in the first place. Like, I don't know where he was. Like, clearly this was his idea. This is what he was trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It was planned.
But it is unclear what about the arrow would have caused that to occur.
Yeah, I didn't follow it.
And on the one hand, I'm like, okay, that sounds really powerful. But it also sounds very simple.
Yeah.
So are people doing this all the time? Like, if you fight an arcanist in a lightning storm, are you just like, fuck, we are running, guys. There's no way we're dealing with
never
this shit.
Never fight an arcanist in a lightning storm.
Because it feels too easy to do this. He didn't have to prep that much. He had to just shoot an arrow in a... Ah.
Right.
I don't know what happened here.
I don't quite get it. Someone, if you guys listeners haven't, are like, oh yeah, this made total sense.
Yeah.
And it's explained by this thing. Please let us know.
And he was talking about slippage to it. It was tough. It was tough for me. But it did great.
It did great. It exploded everyone.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Right, they went from zero to hero.
Yeah. But that led me to my next point, which, I wrote this note down before we got to the Fey realm.
Yeah.
But like, this is a general Quoth thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything Quoth does seems so unearned.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one of my big annoyances That'll probably come back when we end up doing like reviews on the next episode or something like that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
That just is what bothers me, I think.
I mean, these
like this.
It also feels like the way Quoth is described doing stuff, like he is sort of like coming up with these things on his own. Like he's sort of being really ingenuitive and thinking of stuff like stabbing the dead body to hurt a bunch of people. Yeah. That feels kind of obvious. Once again, kind of obvious and also so powerful in a battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like this, granted, I guess there's like a prohibition on doing it in around the university in that country because of the history, like the Iron Law and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like I have to think that this is like, this is, but like, it can't just be a rule at the university.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like, if it's this easy.
Yeah.
And like, I realize that he's really good. He's like the specialist boy. So like other people probably wouldn't be able to do this like this many times, let's say.
Yeah.
But like, if it's this easy, and again, we've talked about this, but like anyone can learn this magic. This like Arcanist stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like an inherent thing.
Right. Right. And granted, some people have better like will and.
Sure. Yes. Than others. But like, I guess what I'm trying to get at is everyone would be doing this.
Yeah.
Because yeah. It's an incredible war innovation, which is like what drives technology.
Correct. Yeah.
And like the fact that it's like been prohibited is important, right? Because like it's not just a thing where it's like, oh, you can't do this at the university. What I'm trying to say is he is now committing war crimes.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
It's not good.
Don't do war crimes, buddy.
Right.
But then again, is it justified? Like these are bandits. He blasted him with lightning.
I don't know.
Yeah. Seems not great.
If you can just, like, you can kill anyone this way.
Yeah. You just have to look at him. You got to see him.
Literally, like, I have this thing. Oh, and I can now kill the mayor now because I know I'm, like, slightly good at making
sympathy
one of
link.
These little wax figures or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, that too.
Or
yeah.
Anything. It's like, okay, assassination is so easy at this point.
Right. Granted, he can't do it for the mayor because he made him a Graham.
Yeah.
So he kind of, I think he kind of played himself with that. Because otherwise it's like cheat code. It's an assassin cheat code. You could be like, very far away.
Yeah.
You could poison a different person. I don't know. It sounds like you could do all kinds of shit that would kill them.
Yeah. You need like a piece of their hair or, I mean, obviously the, like a piece of their, or a little bit of their blood is like the most important thing, but.
Quoth didn't have any of that when he was doing his war crime.
That's true. Actually.
Quoth just looked at them and stabbed a body. And he did it a lot. He did it like 6 times. Which means somebody like a sixth of his strength could probably do it once.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he also didn't have a link. So he was drawing from his own. Oh, man. This is a cheat code. It's too OP.
It's too OP. This is why we banned it.
It's why it needs to never come back. But anyway. So he did that. He brought down lightning like Tamerlan the Great. And then on their way back, Luke.
This is the scene. So, okay, can I just jump in and say, I've read this book before.
Yeah.
And before this, I was like, this actually has held up better than I expected.
Yeah.
Better than I remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was waiting for us to get to this section.
Bro.
Because this one.
I'm like so.
The worst of the worst.
So Quoth is apparently the best at sex, and he was already really good, and then now is the best at sex.
Right. Quoth was able, like...
So Quoth is not only the smartest and best wizard and the best musician, he's also officially the best at sex.
Quoth spent a few months just having sex every day with the famous sex goddess.
With the hottest sex goddess. Yep.
That normally she kills people, but he was like so good and cool.
Yeah.
That she like actually let him go and gave him a gift and wanted him to come back.
Yeah.
He's so good and cool and good at sex and great at singing and yeah.
Yeah, and he can do a little magic in the bedroom. But she, even before, like, oh my God. It's kind of feels embarrassing that even his, like, first time he has sex with this sex goddess, and she is like, oh, that was your first time. Wow, you felt like a very experienced. I'm just like, this is so fucking, this is cringe, guys. This is really right. Cringe.
A 16-year-old boy. By the way.
Yeah, first of all, we do have to say swap the genders. Now it's really fucked up because
16-year-old boy who it's yes. Age gap and stuff bad.
Age huge age gap and also oh my God.
But like a boy who's been in the woods who's like I think never done the frick frack snick snack before?
No.
And has been in the woods for a while with a group. So yep. Like
hasn't been playing his lute, wink wink, if you know what I mean.
Right. He's not good at it. I'm sorry.
I don't care how many plays you've been in or songs you've heard, you're not good at this. The closest you've gotten is being like friend zoned by Denna constantly.
Yeah.
This is not You're not good at it. You're not good at it. And I think the reason it's cringe is it doesn't matter if he's bad at it at first. Do you know what I mean? Like, Quoth could be bad at this.
Yeah.
And he has other skills that, like, I'm not even saying he can't come out of it a sex god. I'm saying the fact that he goes into it being a sex god is sort of rude to me as a reader. I'm offended.
You mean like the fact that Coat, I'm gonna call him,
yeah,
the who's actually telling this story,
yeah,
in the real time,
yeah,
presents this as if was good the first time and everything.
Yes,
is like annoying.
Yes, I'm like you can be bad at it. It's okay if y'all both have a little laugh about how bad you are in it. In fact, it would be sort of a humanizing moment, honestly, for you if you were like, yeah, I was bad at it. And we had a chuckle at first because, yeah, of course I was bad at it. I was a 16-year-old boy who'd barely kissed a girl before.
Right.
Did he even kiss a girl before? Now that I'm thinking about this, did he and Denna kiss?
I don't remember.
Oh, man. So he's best at sex. Now, God, and
this is just like such an embarrassing story to tell.
It's like it's embarrassing, and also the number of chapters that we spent on Quoth getting good at sex.
Yeah,
unnecessary.
Yeah,
unnecessary.
The amount of the times that they say like kisses is so like shut up.
Do you think Tempe's pissed when Quoth gets back, when he's like teaching him these yoga moves and he's like, this one's called pebble rolling down a stream. And Quoth's like, yeah, that, I know what that move is. I learned that move in the Fae.
Right.
I know that one. Let me show you ivy growing on tree, my guy. She's like, dude, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. I just... And it's so disappointing too. I feel like we need to back up for just a second, because Quoth has a moment where he's talking to the Chronicler, and we'll talk about him encountering the prophecy tree. But Bast has this section where he's like, you're making this up, right? You're exaggerating. Bast gives him this opportunity to be like, this is where you're exaggerating, right? Because you didn't actually do this. And Quoth's like, no, this is my time to tell my true story and with all its blemishes.
Right.
And I'm like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. You ruined it, Quoth. You have to leave. Like, there has to be some room in this for us to be like, okay, come on. You didn't.
It's just so obviously absurd. The way that he gets out of it is because, like, he ad-libbed some song.
Yeah.
For a multi-thousand-year-old sex goddess.
Yep.
And she was like, oh, I have to let you go because I need you to finish this song.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me.
Like, that's a story. And it's okay that that's a story. But, like, that's literally out of a story. Like.
Right.
It's fantastical in its premise. Like, it's also okay if you went to the Fae. Like, this is great. We're introducing the Fae, right? As a concept, yeah. As a place. We had to get there at some point. But does Quoth have to be dominant over everything?
Do you have to stay and, like, hook up for another, like, 2 months? And then she gives you an amazing gift? Which I want to talk about in a second as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just be like, even if you, let's say the story of how he gets away by holding this song hostage is true.
Yeah.
Just like, you guys had sex a couple of times and you did this.
Right.
That's a cool story. Well, and like kind of fine.
Or even the once, even the, that feels like he's pushing his luck where I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, you made your deal, and now she's going to let you go. And he's like, yeah, but then she came on to me, and I was like, ah, fuck, all right, here we go again. And it's like, dude, she's got you, dude. She's got you, buddy. Yeah, this is a wild way to introduce the Fae as a concept.
Like, you're just not entertaining. As a 16-year-old boy, you're just not entertaining a goddess who has lived for thousands of years.
Right, a sex goddess.
You were just, like, so beneath her.
Yeah.
That, like, there's no way she can... Even if she's the kind of fae person that, like, likes to pick up human and, like, mess with them for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, you're just not entertaining for her.
Right, you're coming at this fae lady being like... Hey, have you seen Naruto? There's this one scene that I really like where Gaara fights Bruce Lee or whatever the Lee's kid. It's just like, dude, you're not even on the same level here.
Right.
She's doing her taxes, okay?
Okay, but let me talk about the cloak for a second.
Okay.
And I am going to do another thing that I'm annoyed with Quoth for.
Yeah.
This is going to be, it's so specific. He's not understanding how she's making this because she's like weaving shadow into it and like grabbing light beams.
Yeah.
Right. And at one point he's like, he's talking to her and he's like, I don't understand how you can do this because light behaves like a wave. This made me so mad.
I also was upset about this. Yeah. Yeah.
What is this? What do you mean light behaves like a wave? How do you? I mean, like, do you know what? I don't know how to describe why this makes me mad.
It makes me mad because it feels like it's the author of the book trying to show how smart Quoth is to us in our world by referencing something about light that is real in our world about light that's counterintuitive.
Right.
But it's not. How would they have, first off, like, where does that come from in this universe? We've never heard that before from anyone.
Yeah.
Quoth just seemingly pulls it out of nowhere. Granted, maybe there's some off-screen physics class that he took where they like put up a diffraction grating and showed the like positive and negative interference of light somehow with like candles,
but
or
it doesn't
whatever.
Even seem like that would be relevant for his work, you know what I mean? Like,
that
even let's even say that someone in this world has discovered that light behaves like a wave.
Yes
he's not learning this at the in his first year at the university that is primarily focused on like splitting his mind and like this weird little crafting thing.
Yeah, but he's making sympathy lamps, and you need to know that waves, light is a wave, because it's a lot of there's a lot of positive and negative interference. That's why you make the little cone the right shape for the sympathy wave or the sympathy lamp. But also, what does that have to do with a magical sex goddess using it to weave you a shadow?
Right, you wouldn't say, like, here's what it is.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say that light behaves like a wave. You would say, like, you can't grab a light beam.
Correct.
Right?
This is exactly, no. Look, we've exactly encountered it. It has no relationship to the fantastical thing she did with it. Like, a peasant could have been amazed and confused by her actions without knowing that light is a wave. Light is a wave is irrelevant, okay?
Yeah.
Light is a wave does not matter. What matters is she's doing something with light that seemed impossible, that you have never encountered before.
Right.
If light was a particle, this would also be fucking crazy.
Right, because the light photons are a bunch of different particles and she's grabbing the beam as if it's one, right? Like, the problem is that you can't grab light beams.
Oh, but he's the best at sex and he's the smartest boy, Luke.
He's really smart. He's a physics genius, Dan.
Well, apparently not, because he just witnessed a phenomenon that he refused to accept.
Right.
So maybe you have to rethink your understanding of light now, Quoth. It's time to get back in the lab, okay?
It's actually not a wave in this world, as we've learned.
Yeah. Update your priors, all right?
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about this tree oracle guy thing.
Yeah.
The Cathaya or something.
Yes, I do need to say here, like my obligatory statement about all future prophecy things is trying to stop them from happening is stupid. Stop. If they are actually seeing into the future as you think they are, there is literally nothing you can do to stop them.
Right.
So stop talking about it like you have agency in this to like prevent people from encountering the tree or like manage the fallout in any way. You are now a determined cog in a machine. If this tree can truly see the future, you have no free will.
They say that it sees it perfectly as well.
Yes. This is you don't have free will. There is no possible way you are affecting the future.
So, okay, yes, I agree with you.
Which I should say, we don't need to spend very much time on this at all, because I've talked about this so many times on the course of this podcast where we have a future seeing thing that people try and mess with. So we need to move on from that general point.
Yes, but I do want to, we'll keep talking about the tree oracle though. So I've actually gone back and forth a couple times on this.
Yeah.
And my first thing, which was before we actually learn exactly what it does,
mm-hmm.
I think it's like Felurion is telling him that it's like very cruel. And so whenever you talk to it, it only says something that's true, but it like says things that are really mean.
Yeah.
It's kind of how she describes it.
Yeah.
And my first note was like, I mean, I'm going to talk to it though, because yeah. If it says things that, how mean could it be? You know?
Could be pretty mean, Luke.
Because it could be very mean, but it like tells him things that are important, that are like good for him to know.
Well, okay.
Like they are hurtful.
Are they good for him to know? Because it sounds like what Bast is terrified about is the fact that it tells him stuff that he thinks is good for him to know, but sets him on a path of tragedy. right?
Okay, yes, this is where I turned around a little bit, because that was I had that thought before I knew that it was like a future seeing thing.
Yes. Yes.
Because then I was kind of into it.
I like the tree.
Okay? I like the tree. And this might be a hot take, I think that we're overrating the tree's powers a little bit.
Ooh, okay.
And here's what I mean by that. Because Bast makes it seem like the tree can bring about whatever future it wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's true.
Hmm.
Because, like, the tree can see the future.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, those possibilities, based on, like, a single conversation with Quoth, are not unlimited.
Hmm.
Right? Like, you can't be like, I can tell Quoth this thing and make some specific thing happen. I'm not describing this well. Like,
you're saying there is a limitation to what you can do based on like what you tell Quoth. Like, you can't tell Quoth something and then have like the moon crash into the planet. Is that what you mean?
Right. It's not like you can't think of the outcome that you want,
yeah,
and then backtrack to find what to tell Quoth to make that outcome happen.
Right. Right.
You can only see like what outcomes are possible.
Yeah.
Based on what you can tell Quoth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Now,
and so like you're constrained within like what is possible.
This is
within that conversation.
Luke, this is also implying that the tree has agency. This is implying that the tree gets to choose the future that it creates rather than just being a prisoner of the future that is going to happen, right?
Okay.
There's two scenarios where the tree can see the future. The first is it is the only thing with free will, and it is the only thing that is able to choose what path the future takes, or it is a prisoner as much as everybody else is in this deterministic hell, and it speaks the words that it was always going to speak, and it knows that it was always going to speak them, and it's just like an observer for this future that is happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one it is. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's taken the wings off a lot of butterflies. So there's some hurricanes going on.
It's true. Either way, it's an interesting character.
Yes.
Throw in here that I had actually kind of forgotten about.
It's always interesting to have like a little prophecy for our character, right? A little Oedipus situation.
But we don't have an actual prophecy. We just have like he had an interaction with something that like set his path on a certain route.
Right.
I guess.
Right. I guess that what Bast claims is that the prophecy is doom. The prophecy is your life is going to be really fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which on that note, actually.
Yeah.
Quoth in this conversation is telling Bast that like, yeah, I know this story isn't a comedy. It's like a tragedy kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, I think Coat at the time that he's telling this story is still pretty young.
Yeah. I think he's in his 30s.
I feel like it was either like early 30s or something.
Yeah.
And like he had already had a pretty rough, like some tragic things happen,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the point that we're currently at with Quoth,
yeah,
he like doesn't have a family or anything.
Yeah.
And so to me, I was just like, I mean, I know I've said this a couple times, but how bad could your story be?
Luke, I had the same thought, but I don't know if this is too meta, but my thought was like, we don't got a lot of book left and it's gonna have to get pretty sad pretty quick, otherwise the third book is gonna be a big bummer.
Right, the way he's telling this, I mean, like, realistically he makes it seem as if the story up until his current life is like a huge bummer, right? And the way that I'm thinking about it is
you mean becoming a sex god? Yeah, that's a tough one, man. That's really tough.
But the way I'm thinking about it is it's like, it seems like the worst is ahead of you, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, like, you're kind of doing fine.
Maybe right believe now. Bast, guy.
You're kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, we leave the Fae.
We finally leave the Fae. We make it out alive. And we have a little fun sex moment, which I think is really interesting. That Quoth makes a very particular point here that he's like, oh, don't think I got ruined by the sex goddess. I still like sex with everybody. And trust me, they like it with me too. And it's like, okay, bud, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, she's like, the girl that he hooks up with is like, I thought you were cute before, but now you have this new vibe that's even hotter.
I've seen in your eyes you're good at sex. And then her mom comes up and her mom's like, oh yeah, I've seen it in his eyes too. He is good at sex.
Oh yeah, this little boy.
This 16-year-old boy, good at sex, everybody.
He's got that look.
Fuck. Yeah. And then he goes to Yoga Town.
Yeah.
So he and Tempe, apparently it was like really bad for Tempe to teach him yoga.
Right.
And he goes to Yoga Town, and on the way, he's learning about Lithani, right?
Yeah.
Which is the code that they all go by of like what's good. Like what is the right thing to do. This feels very problematic to me as a way of organizing right action in your society.
I agree, but say more.
It feels so arbitrary. It feels so like you can just kind of, it's vibes based. It's 100% vibes based, and it doesn't sound like there's any written text about like what is this code? What is this sort of journey you're all on that you should be doing? Like, what are right actions and wrong actions? They're just sort of like, at what point he's like, it's not right to fall unless the Lithani demands it. And it's like, well, then it sounds like you can justify any action you want.
Yeah.
Like going backwards.
Yes. I think it's the kind of thing where like, you are trying to instill in every individual person really good judgment.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yes.
Generally. However, it's very difficult to do without like set guidelines.
Right.
But also, once you have like established someone as being a follower or like having a good understanding of the Lithani.
Yes.
Then they're free to do anything.
They're suddenly an authority on it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like any behavior that they do can be excused.
Yes. Yes. Because they're the teacher. Because they're the one who knows it.
Right.
Yeah. Especially because like, and I don't know if we're going to reach a point in this section where Quoth finally realizes that like dancing leaf is touching a part of him that is like inherent in all people, and that this like code is just an inherent thing in all people. But it feels not true. It feels like so many people would find so many different codes inside of them for like what is right. That this feels so dangerous for a society to be based on this principle. Right.
I will say there are some signs. I think Tempe is generally good, but there are some signs that like this group might not be the best.
Yeah, for sure.
For one, they call everyone barbarians.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, like, have facial expressions. I don't know.
Yeah.
And very, very us versus them. Very xenophobic, I will say.
Right. This culture is also feeling very... Is this feeling very East Asian coded to you?
Mostly because of the, like martial arts kind of stuff, plus...
And the sort of, like...
Spirituality.
Confucius, Buddhist spirituality angle here.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's feeling a little East Asian coded. And he's learning, like, sort of, like, Kung Fu Tai Chi sort of...
Yeah.
Moves. Yeah, I don't know. He's meeting with, like, a Kung Fu master.
Yeah.
I mean, I am into it, but we're back at school. Quoth left school, we're back at school now.
Yes.
Which, actually...
And he's got... Listen, we got to check the boxes, okay? He's got magic.
Yeah.
Master of magic.
Yeah.
Sex god.
He went to sex school. The best sex school.
Science. Really good at science.
Yep. Yep.
Now he's got... And obviously really like master of the song,
mm-hmm. right? Now he's got to be...
He's got to be a jock.
Be a kung fu master.
Yeah. Master of the sword.
Mm-hmm.
So, the best at everything, Dan.
Leave some for the rest of us, Quoth. That's all I have to say. Leave some for the rest of us. God, I hope, my deepest hope for this story is that Quoth gets to the end is like, pretty good story, right? Yeah, none of that shit was real. I can't believe you guys sat here for 3 days listening to me make up the most insane shit I've ever said.
You guys believed all of that. That's insane.
You guys, seriously? The first time I said it, that I was like the best magician, I was like, okay, maybe they'll buy this. But then when I said I was the best at sex, and you guys were like, yep, he does seem like he's the best at sex.
He's got this wild fey look about him.
He did have a very...
screams sex god to me.
He had a very detailed erotica that he just told us. So it must have happened. Like, bro just wrote 50 Shades and they were like, oh, you did that. That's cool.
Except he, like, didn't make it... It's not 50 Shades, okay?
Right.
Because he it's not, like, hot.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's like bragging, but in like a really artsy way.
Right. They always fade to black when they do the spicy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Quoth. Quoth, Quoth, Quoth.
Yeah. Big section.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good stuff. Luke, I want to say here, I do have a theory, and I want to pin this here because we don't have time in this episode for me to talk about my theory. And I'm just pinning it here in the off chance that in the last quarter, Patrick scoops me on my theory. And I don't even want to introduce it, but you have to trust me. You're going to have to take my word that I've got one in mind. And if it comes out in the next quarter, I thought of it already, but we're out of time. It's also a minor theory. Here's what I will say about this. I think there's a very low chance that it comes out in the next quarter.
Can you give like a one sentence thing on what it is?
Ari is Fae.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about this next time.
Okay. There's the teaser.
So we will be back with the end of The Wise Man's Fear next time. We did get a comment on the Discord asking for us to speculate about when book 3 might be out.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Well, I'll think about it. We'll come prepared with an estimate for what we think. and we'll see you next time. We'll be bringing the hot takes.
And being dumb nerds.